Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And while you're turning, let me just introduce a new Bible study series to you. We're calling it Making Biblical Sense of Our Senses. Making Biblical Sense of Our Senses. Many weeks ago, I had another series almost already. And then the Lord decided to change it for me, and I started working on this. I think this will be a blessing to you. I have been in church my whole life, 48 plus years I've been in church. I don't think I've ever heard an entire sermon, let alone an entire series, on the topic of our senses. Now, I'm not talking about your judgment. I'm talking about the five senses that God gave man. That is sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. There is a lot in the Bible about those five things. And it's amazing. Tonight's going to kind of be the kickoff to it, the introduction to it all. And we're going to tear into it a little at a time. I'll be honest with you. I wished I could tell you, I have 22 of these. I have no idea where this is going to end up. Each time I work on one, I get three more. I was finishing up redoing my outline today, and I just discovered another part of this, and I said, "Ooh, that's got to be next week. Let's bump that one, put that here," and I did a quick little outline. So it happens that way, and it's not that it's new truth. It's just amazing how it all falls together, but I think this will be a blessing to you. I don't think it's going to be real scathing, hard. I don't plan on it being real correctional necessarily, but it will correct you if you're out of line. I'll promise you that. And I think this will be very eye-opening and helpful to you. And it'll give you something as you read through your Bible to pay attention to. That is for sure. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse 12. And I'll read aloud. You follow silently. "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." Watch this. "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, to discern both good and evil." Now, I want you to notice something here. God talks about our senses. Now, I mentioned this just a moment ago. God gave man five senses. The ability to see or sight, hearing, you have smell, you have the ability to taste, which is one of your senses, and also the ability to touch or to feel. Everything is in life is wrapped up in those five senses. By the way, there is no sixth sense to understand spiritual things. We'll talk about that here as well as we get into this. You're not going to hear ghosts and voices of the past and the future. It's you're not going to have paranormal experiences. I call that paranoiac experiences, not paranormal. We were created in God's image. We were created in God's image. This means, now watch this, that we have the same kinds of senses that God has. If we were made in God's image, then God has the same type of senses that we have. God gave us these senses. Now, here's what you don't understand. We think those senses were for us. To a certain degree, they were. But those senses were given by God to man when God created man so that we could better relate to God and what he gave us. It was for our relationship and our knowledge with God. Not for us to worship ourselves with. Not for us to wrap our whole life around. It was so that we could understand God better. Think about all the things that God did with his senses. Bible says, and God spoke. He said, so he's using his mouth. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Ooh, wait a minute. It also talks about that our prayers go up as in the altar in the tabernacle, that it's a sweet smelling savor to the Lord's nostrils. The Bible said he saw all that he did and behold, it was good. He was seeing. And I could go on and on. All those things God talks about with his senses. Now, he wanted us to enjoy the things of the world here so that we could praise him more by what he made and understand it more with the senses he gave us. Now, he made the beauty of the earth for our eyes to enjoy. He made all the beautiful smells of the world for our noses to enjoy, and some of them to stay away from. He made all the beautiful sounds for us to hear and to enjoy. He made all the wonderful foods for our tongues to enjoy. And some of us don't have the same taste buds, because what some call wonderful, I wouldn't call wonderful. And what I call wonderful, some of you wouldn't call wonderful. But he gave us that ability to enjoy food. He gave us the ability to feel comfort and to feel pain. Did you know that pain is not necessarily a bad thing? Did you know that people who don't feel pain end up getting hurt worse than people that feel pain? If you couldn't feel that the stove was hot and you stuck your finger on it, you're going to burn your finger real bad. That ability to feel pain keeps you from putting it too close, unless you're not real intelligent. Well, you only do it once or twice, that's for sure, all right? I can promise you that. Now, he filled the earth with all the things he wanted us to enjoy, and then he put us here. You have to understand, he created all the things for us to enjoy before he put us here on earth. God wants us to enjoy what he enjoys. If you read through Genesis chapter 1, we don't have time to go there right now. We'll be in the book of Genesis here in a little bit. But I want you to notice throughout the book of Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God saw that it was good and that it pleased the Lord. God saw this and it pleased him, and God did this and it pleased him, and God did this and he created this and this pleased him. And all those things God was enjoying as he was creating them for us and for him to enjoy so that we could praise him better. Now, listen to this really, 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 really careful. Problems came when man sinned. The problem with our senses came when man sinned. You see, matter of fact, Satan used man's senses that God gave him in the fall of man. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I want to show you something, and then we'll jump into this a little bit more. Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 5. This is Satan talking to Eve. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, notice touch, or taste, then your eyes, there's another sense, sight, shall be opened, and you should be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw their sight, that the tree was good for food, that's taste, and that it was a tree pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open. Now look at me, if you will. When man sinned, the problem with our senses became a problem. There was no problem with our senses before. But in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Did man's body die when they sinned in the Garden of Eden? Did it die the moment they ate of that fruit? But something died, or God's a liar. Because he said, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. He didn't say, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt start a process of death. He said, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Now, Satan used our senses to override God's words and God's commands. Now, today, man still battles allowing his senses to rule him or God's words to rule him. We now live in the same battle that Adam and Eve had with the devil. Will we let our senses, our sight, our hearing, our smell, our taste, our touch to lead us? Or are we going to let the word of God rule our life? That is still the conflict we have today. Now, most every sin we deal with in our lives involves our senses. Think about it. Virtually every sin is based on one of the five senses. God says that man does that which is right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, as I see it, well, God, I don't understand. I don't see it that way. You don't have to see it. God said it. Just do it. Now, man's religion, not God's Christianity, but man's religion is based on emotion and our five senses. If it feels good, do it. This is how I think it should be. Well, it doesn't matter what God says, as long as you're part of the church, as Mr. Pope said. Most religion is based on how things make you feel. The Bible's not based on what you feel. The gospel's not based on what you feel. Now, the Bible has much to say about our senses, and let me say again, God gave us our senses to enjoy. But those senses are not to control us. Let me explain it this way. Everybody look at me for a second. Slap yourself, wake yourself up. Wives, slap your husband. Husbands, keep your hands to yourself. Look at me for a second. Did you know that senses control animals? Yeah, Brother Joe, your cows, they're controlled by their senses. If they hear him holler, they know it's time for food. When they're hungry, they go out and eat. And if they don't like what they're chewing on, they go somewhere else. If it's time for reproduction time, it's all based on their senses. An animal, my dog, is driven by her senses. And I have a beagle. So her biggest sense is her nose. She's got a nose bigger than Pinocchio. Trust me. That dog can smell food at 3 miles with the wind going the other direction. You can have a sealed container and she thinks it's hers. And she's up on the back feet. She's dancing around trying to figure out what it is. I mean, she's going at it. They say a beagle's nose, if you put a piece of cake in front of them, they don't smell cake. They smell the sugar, they smell the flour, they smell the vanilla, they smell all the individual components. That's how sensitive their nose is. I don't know. I never had a beagle talk to me to tell me that, but that's what they say, all right? I do know this. She likes food, and she smells everything. If I'm out and about all day long, I come home, she can smell every person I've been with, whether they had a dog or not, a cat. I mean, she's everywhere. I'm thinking, just leave me alone. Get your stinking nose off me. Now, wait a minute. An animal is driven by their senses. An animal is a body and a soul, but it has no spirit. A lost person has a body and a soul, but no spirit. Not until you get born again does your spirit get reborn and you become triune like God. Now watch this. That's why our world acts like a bunch of animals. Our sin caused our spirit to die and we allow our senses to rule us. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. You get out of the car at work. The windows are open this time of the year, just in the afternoons. And you step out and you go, she got dinner on. You may have been hungry, but you got hungrier the moment you smelled whatever was cooking. Say, what was that? My senses kicked in. I got out of the car, opened up the door, walked in. I thought, man, she's got something on, and it really smells good right now. I hope it's time to eat. It wasn't time to eat yet, but it sure did smell good for a long time. I didn't say, where's my fork? I don't care if you're ready or not. I'm digging in. You say, why is that? Because I'm not going to let my senses control me. I'm going to control my senses. Now, listen to this very carefully. When we let our senses control us, listen to this. It is a term we know as sensual. It's not sexual, it's sensual. Take your Bible, turn to James chapter 3. I'm going to show you something here. The Bible uses the word sensual twice. James chapter 3. I forgot where I was at. Sorry about that. James chapter 3, look at verse number 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Ooh. So the word sensual is associated with devilish and earthly or carnal or lost man. Correct? Take your Bible, turn over a few more pages. Jude. There's only one chapter, Brother Gus. So verse 19. Jude, verse number 19. Watch this. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Notice that's capital S. Having not the Holy Spirit. In other words, you are sensual when you don't have the Holy Spirit and you're living like the world or the earth lives life. You go to the average worldly place of entertainment today, the average worldly campus for college, whatever you want to call it, where people live, it is amazing how sensual everything is. People live like animals. They really do. You say, what is it? They allow their senses to control them. Now, this is why, okay, everybody smile, preacher loves you. This is why the world's stupid enough to believe in evolution. Man did not come from monkey. God created man. The only way you believe that you came from a monkey is because somebody told you that and that you're lost and you don't have a spirit, so you're acting like an animal. Man is not a mammal. A whale is. Man is man. Just so you know. We're not an animal. We're not categorized as an animal. God made us on a different day than he made the other animals. We are not an animal. We are man. We're not just a higher form of a monkey. We are man. Or woman. For those of you of the other gender. Mankind. Okay? Now, but it's no wonder the world will believe something so stupid because they only have a body and soul. They don't have the Holy Spirit to tell them any different, and they're acting in a sensual way. Everybody got that? Now, that was just the introduction. Here we go. Number one, God gave us the senses he has so we can enjoy him more. We were made by him in his image. Turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to prove to you scripturally what I'm saying here, and I want to help you tonight. I'm going to review a little in my sermon what I did in my introduction, but go a little deeper. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Wow. We were made in God's image. By the way, he gave us our senses so we could understand him better. He has those same senses. And if we had what he has, then we could understand each other a little better. By the way, God made the earth and man in such a way that it pleased his senses. Genesis chapter 1, look at the last verse, verse 31. And God saw, there's a sight, everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were of the sixth day. Did you know God saw everything that he had made? He looked the world over one last time that week of creation and said, behold, this is very good. By the way, he had already created man. It was the sixth day. So he had seen everything he had created and said, behold, this is very good. God personally planted Eden for man's senses. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse number 8. I love this. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now, look at me very carefully here. God personally planted that garden in the eastward end of Eden for man. He said, man, I'm going to show you the greatest stuff I've got here on this earth. I'm going to show you how you can do it, and you can keep it going. But God was the first farmer. I want you to notice it said God planted. It didn't say God spoke. It said he planted. He got out there and worked with man on it, I believe. Now, God walked with man and woman and enjoyed each other in their senses. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Ooh, wait a minute. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It wasn't unusual for them to hear the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. Why? Because he met with them daily. They knew he was coming. They had already sinned. That's why they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves, because they knew they were naked. We'll talk about that in a moment. But look at me for a second. Why did they cover themselves? There was nobody else to see them but themselves, but they knew God was coming. They walked with him. And he gave their senses for them to enjoy. Now, so number one, God gave us the senses he has so we can enjoy him better. Number two, sin caused our senses to be less like God's and began to rule us instead of God's words. Sin caused our senses to be less like God's and began to rule us instead of us allowing God's words to rule us. Look at Genesis 3. Look at verse number 5. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, watch this, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Watch this. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, watch this, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now look at me. Man's senses before sin allowed him to not be led by his senses. I will cautiously cover this, parents, to those of you that have children. But when man's senses were perfect, they did not need clothing because they were not led by their senses. When man sinned, he became led by his senses. Now, I'm not telling any of these people that go to these communes and live without clothes are right. They're not closer to God. They're sensual, they're devilish, and they're not right. Because of our sin, we have to cover our bodies because our senses began to die as well. We cannot enjoy the things of God as much as we could before there was sin. See, a dead spirit, listen to this, caused man's senses to be more like an animal's, but it was perverted because it knew better. Did you know an animal, his senses control him, but he doesn't know any better? But a man does. Do you know, most animals, very few animals are stupid enough to eat themselves to death. A horse can. But a cow generally won't eat themselves to death, nor will a horse or a cow drink himself to death. He'll drink till he's full, he's done. Now, a horse will stand there till he fills his belly so full that it pops and kills him. You got to be careful how much you give him. Now, we think cows are stupid and horses are smart, but I'm not sure which one's the smart and which one's dumb. I think they're both smart in their own realm. Amen? That's called trying to be politically correct. I don't know. But I do know this. Very few animals will overindulge in any one thing. Very rare. Most of them just go till that sense has been satisfied and they're done. Now, a dead spirit causes man's spirit to be more like an animal's sense. Watch this, but we know better and ours is perverted. During the millennium, the animal's senses will be back to the way God intended, and so will man's. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. I know. You got to use your Bible. That's why we call it Wednesday night Bible study. All right? Isaiah chapter 11. Look at verse number 6. This is in reference to when Jesus is on earth. We're ruling and reigning with him during that thousand-year millennium after the rapture and after the seven-year tribulation. By the way, rapture happens, then the seven-year tribulation. Okay? That's called the pre-millennial reign, rapture. And it's the only way God teaches it, just so you know. There are some believe that we're out of here halfway through the tribulation. There's others that believe we don't get raptured till after the tribulation. I don't know where these kooks come off, but they got their head screwed on the wrong way, all right? But Isaiah chapter 11, look at verse number 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, or the snake, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wow. During the millennium, the animals are going to get along with one another like God intended. There's not going to be any more death. You have to understand, when man sinned, God placed a curse on the earth. Did you know that it wasn't originally intended for animals to hunt other animals? That's due to man's sin. It's to remind us what we did to ourselves. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 65, same book, 50-some chapters later. Isaiah chapter 65, look at verse number 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Kind of restating what I just said during the millennium. Now, man, in all of his perversion, tries to perfect his senses by how he lives in this corrupted, perverted, sin-cursed world. Don't get mad at me. I don't criticize anybody for how they believe in this area, but you can eat all the vegetables in the world and you're still going to die. Okay? You can drink pond water and eat tree bark and all that kind of stuff, and I'm happy for you if you want to drink pond water and eat tree bark. Have at it. I'm a carnivore by nature. It's a fallen nature, but I'm a carnivore. Amen? I like my meat. But did you know that being a vegetarian doesn't get you closer to God? Everybody doing okay? The PETA people, you know, don't kill the animals and use their furs and everything else. Oh, that's just such a horrible thing. Those people are weird. Just so you know. They think it's okay not to kill an animal, but they can take all their clothes off and run around naked just in protest. Okay, something's not right there. Something's not wired real well. They need help, okay? We have people in nudist colonies. Oh, this is natural. No, it's not. It's not. And I don't care what America says. I don't think it's natural to strip down to nothing but your underwear, whether there's water and sand around or not, and just walk around. Right. Called a bathing suit. Okay. Everybody doing all right? Now, I'm also not saying that all of the chemicals and drugs that, you know, you got to take a pill to get up, you got to take a pill to go to bed, you got to take a pill to go potty, you got to take a pill not to go potty, you got to take a pill for this, you got to take a pill for that. I'm not saying that some of the medications in our world isn't going to help us, but Lord have mercy. Sometimes you got to take a pill to take a pill. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, you got to take antacid tablets to take care of all the pills you put in your gut that are rotting your gut loose. It just cracks me up. Now, I think somewhere in the middle there's some reality here. Okay? When we get saved, our senses have a chance to become more like the way God created them before the fall of man. They will never be perfected. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Watch this. All things become new. That's our senses. Did you know that after you get saved, your senses change? Some of you, before you got saved, you drank alcohol, you were drunkards. When you got saved, you gave it up. Say why? Your sense of taste changed. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of the things you used to see and watch, and some of the things you used to listen to, you don't do it anymore. Why? Your senses are changing. You're getting more of a spiritual sense about your life. And because you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit that will lead you to tell you those things should not be done. Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. We then become led by the Spirit as we yield to the Spirit, not as we yield to the flesh. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'll hurry with this. I really want to take a whole night and just teach on this, but I'm not sure I will. We'll see how this study goes. But watch this. Look at Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to speed read about 11 verses. Follow real quickly. I'm going to talk like a Yankee for a second here. You ready? Verse number 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Watch how many of these involve the senses. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that ye which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, watch this, the fruit Ooh, fruit is something to taste, right? The Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Wow. God talks about this battle against the flesh and the Spirit. Notice the flesh, that's our senses. The Spirit tells the senses what to do. The flesh tells man what to do when you're living in the flesh. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, it can tell you what to do. Did you know? I'm going to get in trouble. Did you know just because you're hungry, you don't have to eat? You can tell yourself you don't have to. Now, sometimes your belly's saying, and I'll look down and say, shut up, it's not time yet. Say, why? Now, my gut wants it. My mouth wants it, but it ain't time. I've put too much in the pie hole, time to back off a bit. I've got to tell it when, not let it tell me when. Everybody understand that? All right. I feel like I'm on an island all by myself on that one. Here we go. Our number three, and I'll finish. I got 6 minutes, and I will finish. Our senses grow in increase as we grow. Our senses grow in increase as we grow. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5, where we started the night. We'll finish back there. And honestly, this is actually the whole point of the sermon tonight that I want you to get. Our senses grow and increase as we grow in increase. Look at verse 13 and notice words that are used. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And that's not talking about me, that's talking about a baby. Okay? But strong meat, watch this, belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now look at me. Did you know when a baby is born that a baby's senses are not fully developed? A newborn child can see. Yes, they can. But their vision only goes about 12 to 18, 24 inches. Then it gets very, very, very fuzzy and blurry, they say, up until they're about 2 to 3 months old. Their sense of smell is pretty acute, but it's still not fully developed. They know the smell of their mother. They know the smell of their family, but past that, things frighten them a little bit. Their ability to feel things are much different. And by the way, even up until about the age of 2 or 3, a child's ability to feel is much different. Say, how do you know? Have you ever gone through a child in diapers, potty training? They don't feel like a normal person feels. They wouldn't be doing that if it didn't bother them. They have to develop that sense of touch. Does that make sense to everybody? I know it's a bit crude, but we develop our senses as we grow. Did you know that a child's taste buds don't fully develop till they're in their middle to late teen years? How many of you ate things as a kid, and if you went back and ate it right now, you'd get sick? Y'all know what I'm talking about? There was something you used to love as a kid, and there's things now, it's like, man, if I did that, forget it. You say, why? Because your tastes changed. There were some things you hated as a child that you can eat now. Now, there's some things I hated as a child and I hate as an adult. I was consistent. Amen? But whatever it is, but your taste can change. Did you know that the more you use your senses, the more you develop those senses? Now, listen to this. You don't have to have all of your senses to live. You can lose your sight and still live. You can lose your hearing and still live. You can lose your sense of smell and taste and still live. I had an aunt who for about 5 or 6 years, she couldn't taste anything. I don't even know if she still has her sense of taste all the way back. But for 5 or 6 years, she literally, you could feed her an onion or a piece of steak, and she couldn't tell the difference. She had no ability to taste anything. And I was like, man, what a bummer. I wouldn't want that. Now, wait a minute, you can lose those senses. Now, you can even lose some of the sense of touch and still live. There are people that lose the use of an arm, or you get numb and you can't feel anything. You've had a stroke or something and that arm is pretty well dead. Or the same thing with a leg or a certain part of your body. You can lose feeling in it, but you can still survive. But you can also regain some of those things through time and through use. Now, watch this. After we get saved, our senses have to grow to become more like God's. I want you to notice something. Your spiritual senses are going to take time to develop after you get saved, especially the later in life you get saved. If you don't get saved till you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you've developed fleshly habits. There are some people that actually enjoy the taste of beer or wine. Now, to me, that is the nastiest smelling stuff this side of Hades. I don't see how anybody could pour that down their throat. I really don't. But there are people in here, you used to drink it, and you say, well, I can tell you how. But you developed a taste for it. Can I tell you something? When you get saved, you lose that desire for that. And you have to develop that. That's called separation. Did you know that when you get saved, that's why we should cover our bodies differently? Did you notice when man became lost, he sinned, he covered himself with an apron? Folks, an apron doesn't cover very much. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man tried to cover himself with an apron. God killed animals and covered him with a coat. A coat covers a lot more than an apron. See, when he got saved, he covered up more than just certain parts. And as we get saved, our senses kick in scripturally, and we learn through use. By the way, that's why the purity of a Christian life should come up as he's saved longer. Can I tell you something? We have lost people who are running towards salvation, towards the Bible, and are growing. And we have kids who got saved as a young child, maybe, and grew up in a Christian home that are running to the world from what everybody else is running away from. Can I tell you why? Because they're not exercising their senses. They're exercising with fleshly things, not spiritual things. I'm not mad. That's why I say, parents, if you're a Christian, control what your children see, hear, do, and who they're with. Control it. Say, well, I don't want to be mean. Be mean. They live in your house. You have the right to tell them what to do and what not to do. It's that simple. Because they have to grow that way. By the way, your senses have the ability to develop. Quit getting all fire upset at people. Well, they've been saved long enough, they should know better. Adam walked with God face to face. He knew better and he fell. What chance do you have? Adam and Eve walked side by side with God every day and sinned. What chance do you have? Let's not criticize, let's just lift up, and let's be a place where people can develop their spiritual senses. Our senses are tainted by sin, all of us. Did you know I don't expect you to like the same things I like? Did you know you don't have to like the same foods I like? Just like I don't have to like the same foods you like. You might like cooked peas and squash and all that kind of stuff, God bless you. I'll eat peas raw, but don't cook them puppies. I don't like squash. I don't like pumpkin. I don't like sweet potatoes. I don't even like pumpkin pie. Say why? Because I just don't like the taste of squash in any variety. Yellow, green, orange, purple, black, or chartreuse. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what you do to it. I can smell it. I can eat pumpkin bread and zucchini bread. Say why? Because there's not much of it in there and you can't taste it. Amen? But I like liver. I like fried okra. I like things that some of you don't like. What's that? Goose liver? Yeah. Braunschweigler or whatever that is. I like that stuff. Can't eat much of it anymore, but boy, that's good stuff. Now, wait a minute. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong. Just like you thought I was crazy. I'm watching somebody, you don't like pumpkin pie. You're weird. Okay, that's fine. But I'm not going to ask you to eat what I eat either. Okay, it's all right. We're going to develop our tastes a little different. But we're all created in the image of God. He gave us our senses to enjoy Him better. Did you know that God enjoys the sunrise? Just like we're supposed to. Did you know God enjoys the sunset? He enjoys the sound of the ocean, the gurgling of the brook. He enjoys the sounds of the birds and all the other critters. He enjoys all those things, and He made those for us to enjoy so that we could understand Him better. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's the question. Are you going to let your senses continue to control you? Do you live like an animal and that your senses control you? Or are you going to control your senses?